This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
You can talk me into it.
What, the wishbone?
Sure, you
get
can talk
that,
me into
get
it.
Get out of here.
And the Bulldog.
The Lombardi Trophy could be in here, and I would pick it up and treat it like a roll-on deodorant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
A couple of snippets there for you to get a little taste of the flavor of this thing here. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, welcome back. Joined now by Ross Tucker, former Bill, now in the media, the host of the Ross Tucker podcast. Ross joining us via the West Her Hotline. Ross, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you guys?
Pretty good.
We are good, yeah.
We are a couple of weeks away from training camp. I mean, not Bulldog and I. We'll probably go out there once or twice. Denver is what? What does that mean? What's that noise?
I don't know.
You think you're gonna start working out? Denver is like less than a week away.
No, I'm definitely not gonna start working out. It's on the other end of whether or not we're actually gonna go out there at all. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
Ross, how optimistic might you be for the Bills?
I'd say I'm pretty optimistic. I think that they have a good chance to build on what they did last year. I thought they were a lot better last year than I thought they would be. I think it's between them and the Jets for second in the AFC East. And I wouldn't be surprised, especially with all the upgrades they made in free agency, the offensive line, some of the weapons for Josh Allen. I wouldn't be surprised if they're very firmly in the wild card mix, you know, in December.
What do you like most about what they did up front? Is it, I mean, Mitch Morse is a big ticket item, highest paid center in the league now. But they also filled in with some guys that didn't cost a lot that have maybe pretty decent or even better than that reputations. Like, how do you see it fitting together up front?
Yeah, I thought it's a good question. And I don't know. I think you can argue that they overpaid for Mitch Morse. I think he's a fine player. With his injury history, I don't know that I would have given him the money that they did. I think what I actually like the most about what they did is just the volume that they've put on it. You know, whether it's Morse or Long or Cody Ford via the draft, I'm a big fan of Ty Nsekhe.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a really good player. You bring in LaAdrian Waddle, Quentin Spain. I mean, the reality is they're going to be able to get five good guys out of that, and really – they're going to be able to have eight guys that you can win with. And so if a guy or two gets hurt, they're going to have a veteran guy who's played, who, you know, won't lose the game for you, a Ross Tucker type, if you will, to be able to plug in there and hold down the fort.
Yeah, this is largely how I feel. I feel almost, Ross, like the Bills have to operate this way. You know, they traded for Antonio Brown, and that didn't work out. But the volume gives them options at wide receiver too, even at running back. And I approve of that. And I think for them, that's almost the only way to go. I think that, you know, doing that is smart. They have the money. You've got to spend it. And so to do that here, you know, there are going to be injuries, of course. So I think this is – and they also – it doesn't sound like – I don't know everything about this, but it doesn't sound like these contracts overall are too penal. Like they would be too hard to get out of. So I think it's a good blueprint.
Well, it just feels like they went from a team with hardly any depth on the offensive side of the ball to now very real depth. I mean, at receiver, John Brown, Zay Jones, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster. Now you have four guys that, you know, have shown that they can play at a pretty high level in the NFL, whereas last year, at times it felt like it was just Jones or just Foster. Bringing in John Brown to be the speed threat, Beasley in the slot, I think should help out Josh Allen quite a bit. Even at tight end, Tyler Croft is an accomplished player. You have Lee Smith, who's more of the blocking guy, and then you take Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney in the draft, and then running back. You know, you had LeSean, you bring in Frank Gore, you bring in T.J. Yeldon, you bring in Devin Singletary. they really don't have a position where you say if this one guy gets hurt, you know, the season's over, probably with the exception of Josh Allen. And ultimately, they're doing whatever they can to try to take advantage of Allen being on his rookie deal and to try to give him the best chance to make a big step forward in year two.
Talking with Ross Tucker, is a radio.com NFL insider. He's here with us on WGR. On Beasley, I feel like I've asked almost every NFL guest we've had on this question. Like his accomplishment in the league is being one of the top slot receivers. And Josh Allen is a get-it-down-the-field guy. And we've seen some accuracy issues on the short stuff in particular from Allen. And I think that's a really interesting piece to watch because the Bills obviously prioritized getting a slot receiver for Allen. And I think they're probably expecting him to make progress, maybe even big progress, in throwing to a safety valve slot type guy like Beasley. Otherwise, why make the investment in him at all? And I think that'll be really interesting to watch unfold as this season gets going, Ross.
I would agree. I think the idea is you're trying to give him some easy completions and you're trying to have an answer on third and medium, which I think they expect to be. They already have the speed guys with Robert Foster and John Brown. They have the stable of running backs. They wanted to get some more intermediate targets to keep the defense honest with Beasley and Croft, and I really think that they did that.
By the way, Brian Daboll, I'm just looking at his career and yours on the screen here. There is crossover when you were with New England. He was the wide receivers coach when you were with New England, which is relatively brief. Would offensive linemen get to know the other position group coaches very well? Like, how well would you happen to have known him?
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I didn't know him very well when I was there. But because we were there together, when he's gone other places, since I've been a broadcaster, I've talked with him quite a bit. I'm a big fan of his. I thought he did some really good things a year ago with Josh Allen. You know, he took advantage of Josh's legs more than I ever thought that they would. And I thought Josh even threw the ball better than expected based on what his statistics had been at Wyoming. But this will really be sort of the referendum on Daboll and his offense. I mean, they're just so much more talented now on that side of the ball. And it's the second year for Josh Allen that, you know, if they don't take a big step, then a lot of that's going to fall on Dable's shoulders. It's his turn and his time to make sure it all works out.
What I think was pretty encouraging in that department, Ross, was that they really had, it looked like, well, and this might be a product of them having started the season expecting Nathan Peterman to be their starting quarterback, and that lasted a half of the opener, and then that was over, and Allen was in. And then Allen missed a chunk of time in the middle of the season, and when he got back in, the offense was different. They had added some different pieces, and of course they continued that more effectively in the offseason here. But Isaiah McKenzie was here. Foster really emerged in the second half of the season, and it was more sort of spread it out and take advantage of Allen being able to run if we've got four and five guys in patterns. And it seemed like he transformed the offense to suit Allen's skill set while he was injured, and I'm encouraged by that because it shows an adaptability that I think you want to have as a coordinator.
I would agree. My concern really at this point is Allen's health. You know, I mean, he ran a lot last year, and he's an aggressive runner. He's a big kid. Some guys, you know, don't really realize the difference between NFL and college. He had a lot of success with it last year. I just don't want him to be running 5 to 10 times a game and to get another injury where he's out for an extended period or, God forbid, the season. You know, that would really stunt his growth. So one of the things I want to see improvement from Josh this year is not taking shots and hopefully not running as much. I still think, you know, 2 to 4 times a game is probably a good number. Once in the run game, once or twice in the run game, once or twice scrambling to keep the defense honest, but just to keep the volume down as much as possible.
With Ross Tucker, Mike Schoep, and the Bulldog on WGR, You know, back to the Patriots, not so much your stint there, Ross, but I'm thinking about it a little bit too, because I like to ask our guests, you know, this summer and in recent summers, how many times over the years you were inclined to say, guests from the media, how many times over the years have you been inclined to even just want to go on shows like these or on your podcast and even just start to talk about whether the Patriot thing is about to end? I mean, you're there in 2005. They've won 3 Super Bowls by then. What are we used to? Quarterback will get, I don't know, into his early to mid-30s. And,
right.
Then he'll break down and just free agency tears teams apart. It's all been said, of course, and written. Like, it's just ridiculous that the thing is still going in 2019. How often have you been tempted to think it was on the verge of being over?
Well, a lot. And I've actually always looked at it from a different angle, which is I can remember railing on the radio and on my podcast when they took Ryan Mallett in the 3rd round. And then I really thought it was ridiculous when they took Jimmy Garoppolo in the 2nd round. And I've just been like, this is unbelievable. You've got the best quarterback ever. He only has 2 years left. Why would you not get him some players, you know, to maximize the end of his career? I mean, I've been doing that for at least six. I mean, how long has Mallett been out? I've been doing it for at least 6 or 7 years. I've been criticizing Belichick for not doing everything he can to get Brady another Super Bowl win. It's unbelievable that he's still playing. I highly doubt we'll ever see anything else like it. I'm a fan of his personally. I like when he does well. I don't root for the Patriots per se. Of all the teams I played for, I by far have the greatest affinity for the Bills. I think everybody up there knows that. But still, being in New England, you can't help but like Brady. I mean, I know people hate on him, but I don't know anybody that actually knows him or met him that doesn't like him. He's just awesome, and so I want him to maximize his career. So I haven't been the one saying, you know, this is it. This, you know, he plays bad against the Chiefs like 5 years ago. It's over.
Right.
I haven't been that guy. I've been the guy saying he only has a year or two left. They need to really go all in. And then every time I say that, it seems like he still has 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more years. I mean, look, he's older than I am. I'm 40. If I stand at a bar, by the 3rd beer, I need to sit down because my back really hurts. And this guy's still playing pro football.
I love this. Ryan Mallett, that was 2011,
wow.
By the way, when they drafted.
I was thinking it was Manuel's draft, but it's 2 years before that. Wow.
Yeah, because you liked him.
Yeah, I did.
Right?
Well, the year before he came out, by the time he came out, I was like, scared. But for a little while in college, I thought he was pretty hot.
Well, yeah. What it does for me, like it, to say the least, Ross, it totally slows me to a halt in wanting to predict that, you know, that they're about to, what?
Get passed
regress.
By anybody?
Regress.
Yeah, right.
I mean, at all, right? Like, it's just, I mean, I sound right now probably like I feel, which is I just never know what to say about it because I hate to just be sort of the same as everybody else going, yeah, New England will be first and then, you know, but geez, I mean, I guess I've given up on even considering.
Bad, no, right? my recommendation to anybody I ever talk to is never bet against the Patriots. Never tell people they're going to lose. Never say it's over. I mean, you're going to be right every once in a while on them losing. You're going to be right eventually with it being over. But, man, you're going to be wrong a lot more. You just say they're going to win and just say that Brady's got 5 more years.
Yeah.
Did you – yes, totally. Did you think that about the AFC Championship going to Kansas City? Like, did you like them that day?
I did. I mean, are you talking about who I thought would win?
Yeah, like, did you think, I'm staying, what you just said, basically, I'm staying here, this is, you know, you're going to, you, how much money have you made over the years betting against New England? I'm going with New England.
Well, if I got to be honest, I was on sideline, so all I wanted was anything other than overtime, and then it went to overtime, because I was freezing my you-know-what off, and I had to pee so bad. I was so angry when it went to overtime, I can't even tell you. I mean, it was like painful. My hands, my fingers still hurt from that game. But no, I think I picked the Patriots just because I did not have as much faith in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in a fourth quarter overtime game as I did in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And that's what happened. I mean, that last drive, they're playing man-to-man on third down against Edelman and Gronk. It's like, who do you think he's going to throw to? What do you think is about to happen? Like, I honestly, I'm not a Patriots fan, but I like if you're a dumb team, you should lose. And the Chiefs were so dumb at the end of that game, lining up offsides, you know, man-to-man on Edelman on third down when everybody in the galaxy knew that. I mean, it's just – stupid teams. I like when stupid teams lose. That's my philosophy.
So they, I love that. They can't do that thing where they hold towels around you when you're the sideline report if you got to go to the bathroom while you're on the field. There, I've seen
no recourse.
They can't do that for the sideline guy. You can't. You're stuck.
You know what's funny? When I was with the Bills, I never did that. I just sat on the bench, got like three towels, and just went in my pants. It was so much easier.
Wow.
So much less effort. Although Bledsoe was never really that happy about it when I was playing center and I did that.
I would imagine.
But the stickiness gave him at least a little bit of better grip on the ball.
Okay.
Good
Ross
Lord,
Tucker.
The color and flavor we are getting on this show today from Ross Tucker on the Western Hotline.
Why did all these years have to go by before learning that?
Right. Hey, Ross, at the outset there, you know, we just talked about the Patriots. You mentioned the Bills and the Jets. Like, somebody's got to be second there. I guess we're all pretty comfortable with assuming the Dolphins will be fourth. How about the Jets? Like, Gase has made a lot of waves there. I'm wondering if that might be a disaster. Like, how do you feel about him and them, you know, moving forward here?
Well, I like Sam Darnold quite a bit. In fact, he was the quarterback I liked the most last year coming out. So that's a good place to start. They obviously invested a lot in Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley. I'm not really a Gase fan. I do think that they've had a lot of issues and turnover. So I think it could go one of two ways. It could go really well, or it could blow up on them. I don't think that there will be a middle there. But their offensive line is just too much of a concern for me right now. I can't say when you're going to have a team that's one of the five worst offensive lines in the league. I'm not telling people you're going to the playoffs.
Are you more or less bullish on Cleveland than the average guy?
Less, just because I think it'll be a close game. I mean, a close race, and I'd rather have Roethlisberger. And maybe even the Ravens, you know, if they're all going to be 8-8, 9-7, maybe 10-6 in that mix, I'll take the teams that have been there, done that, over the team that, you know, has never been the hunted, and they've always been the underdog. It's a totally different ballgame.
Okay. How about jumping around just for a minute here, Ross, while we still have you. Green Bay, with the coaching change there and Rodgers, that big article Tyler Dunn wrote about Green Bay, expose. Same question. Are you more or less optimistic than you think the consensus on the Packers?
I would say I'm about right where everybody else is. If anything, I'd say less, just because I'm never going to, you know, a first-time coach like that, I'm always going to say be a little bit skeptical of that, especially when it sounds like they're already having some issues in that regard.
Okay. How about paying Melvin Gordon, today's story? Really interesting. So many reasons to talk about this with running backs and their value. And here's Gordon, who was not, I mean, he's kind of high up the list as it is, cap number wise and salary wise, but end of his contract, what should happen?
Well, he should hold out and try to get more money now, and the Chargers shouldn't do a darn thing about it. I mean, honestly, like, if you're Gordon, you had microfracture, you see what's girly's going on, and Le'Veon Bell, you missed four games last year. He should do everything he can to try to get more money now. But if you're the Chargers, you just can't do it. You just got to fine him the max amount. You got to make sure, you got to say, look, we're not doing it, because, they could do something, but it's not going to be the money he wants. So I wouldn't do it. Not him, not after the microfracture, not at that position.
Do you think
they're both doing the right thing, and we'll see who caves first.
Right. Do you think what happened last year with the Steelers, so James Conner goes in and does well, like if this got to a point where Gordon stayed out, which of course is, you know, what he'll threaten at this early stage, would the Chargers, do you think, be about as good as they would be with him?
Well, he's made $10 million so far. So I really don't think he wants to miss very many games, which because he's making over $5 million this year. And Austin Eckler is a pretty good backup. And I forget if they drafted somebody or not, but I would let him miss games. You know, I would let him miss games and go without him and expect him to be back by week two or three.
All right.
Do you think we're into thinking about Bell, who, you know, he cost himself a year's worth of money, but he still did get a pretty big contract once he got to free agency this year. Antonio Brown navigated really his way out of Pittsburgh differently than Bell did, but he ultimately got, you know, what he wanted. He got paid and went to a different place. Do you think we're, like, is Gordon maybe another test here? Like, do you think he can navigate his way out of the Chargers to someone who wants to give him more money right now?
No, that's not happening. They're not getting rid of him because they know he'll eventually show up and they're trying to win the Super Bowl this year. So I highly doubt they would trade him. This ends with Gordon maybe missing a game or two, and maybe they work out a deal that gives him a little bit of guaranteed money next year, gives him a raise this year, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think so. And who's paying him anyway? Who would want to, you know, give him a bigger contract? With that's sort of against the grain right now. All right, Ross. Well, what a treat. Thanks, as always, for jumping on with us. It was really fun.
Absolutely. My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Ross Tucker, the Ross Tucker Podcast. Started more games for the Bills 17 than he did for any other franchise. Played with Washington, undrafted out of Princeton, made Washington right away. At Ross Tucker NFL to follow him on Twitter. 803-0550 is our number. Melvin Gordon, the Bills season, as we get more and more toward football. I haven't done any hockey today. That's what happens, unless the Sabres, you know, drop something in our laps. It'll be less than that as we get closer to training camp and the football season. But we are still waiting for what has seemed like an inevitable move or two from the Sabres. So we're certainly willing to and going to be talking about them as well here and there. 803-0550 for your comments. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back with the update after this break on WGR.
I think there's a difference in skill level with running backs. You know, Zeke Elliott and Saquon Barkley, they're spectacular, but their output is not going to be proportional to their skill, so to speak. And that's why I think it's the most interchangeable position in the NFL these days. And if you are going to get a guy, you do want that guy that can affect the pass game, create mismatches, take advantage of linebackers in one-on-one situations, because it is a pass-first NFL.
Like it. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus on One Bills Live today.
Do you have the list of salaries for running backs at your disposal?
Yep.
Because what Gurley got paid, Bell's gotten paid.
Do you want him by cap number? Is that the best way to measure it?
I
have SpotTrack, but for this year, I don't have total dollars.
Okay,
I could get that, I guess.
Yeah, no, yeah, just like what? Yeah, if he's third, what are you saying about Gordon? He's third in salary this year, like what he'll be paid this year.
Base salary. Le'Veon Bell is $2 million.
Oh,
in base salary and $14 million.
Okay.
In total cash
bonus and all kinds
and his
of
cap
stuff.
Number is in between those two numbers.
Okay,
I
right,
think
right.
For cap number, David Johnson is number one.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious, like, is that because 5.6 to be third? I'm like, I don't know. There's got to be more guys, and I know running backs are not getting paid. But some of them got to be getting paid more than $5.6 million. I'm thinking to myself, like, that doesn't sound right, but it's a very specific thing there, the 5.6.
Well, it's funny. So at the golf tournament on Monday, I was joking with friends. Like, I was in three fantasy football drafts during the golf tournament. I had three going. I had the February Fix supplemental draft, which is kind of bottom of the barrel guys we drafted the day before the Super Bowl. We're filling out our rosters. Joe, I think, smartly, by the way, in that, picked up Justin Jackson today, who could end up being LA's James Conner if Gordon stays away. There's Austin Eckler there, too. Then I had a best ball draft that was near the end, and this Scott Fishbowl. And one of the guys we work with asked me, geez, how can you draft now? It was July 8th, right? So how can you draft on July 8th? You don't know the teams. And I said, really, most of it's figured out. You'll have cuts, and you'll have some training camp battles, you know, some news. You'll have some injuries in August, but there's not that much left to figure out. It's after the draft. It's after free agency. All that is kind of played out. So it was a great time to do it, and why this league drafts then is partly because it's 1,200 people who are almost all in like lots of fantasy leagues because they're in the industry, and this is first, so you can have time for your other ones, you know, in August or whenever most drafts happen. But then you have this with Melvin Gordon, and if you were to draft tonight, say, Melvin Gordon slips.
Yeah.
I mean, Ross Tucker predicts his prediction is he misses a couple of games, which was kind of like Le'Veon Bell prediction when it got close.
That's exactly right. That's what I mean, for what it's worth. I mean, I'm not Ross Tucker, but I thought Le'Veon Bell would miss a couple of games and then just come back and everybody be fine and he'd have his year.
You picked him.
Yeah, I picked him. I picked him second round.
I had one where I picked him number one, you know, not even expecting that to happen. Because most people at this time, or in August even, were, he'll play.
Yeah, shoot, I did that on September 5th or whatever the hell it was. Whenever we had our draft, I mean, it was, you know, the opener was going on.
That's right.
I'm taking Le'Veon Bell. He'll get there.
It was the night of the opener, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Gordon slips if you're drafting right now.
Yeah, because you're probably shook by what happened with Bell.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to do that again. You know, like I'm going to respect it a little bit more, even though Bell is still, well, until last year and even now, he's the unicorn. He's the oddball. He actually did it. And we'll see if Gordon goes all the way there.
Well, think about what Bell might be serving as an example for Gordon, because Bell got his money.
Eventually, that's right. He didn't, you know, I guess, you know, if you add it all up, he didn't make back what he lost, but he still got paid. He got big guaranteed money, and that's what he really wanted, and he got it.
And he got to enjoy a year off.
Right.
Enjoy, I mean.
Take a year like off of the wear and tear and like whatever. Like, that's not a bad, you know.
Your reputation takes a hit, but
yep.
That doesn't have to matter.
I'm sure he doesn't feel like he really lost anything. You know, he made a lot of money earlier. He's going to make a lot of money now, and a lot of it's guaranteed, and that's really what he wanted. And he got the jet ski for a while.
From the jet ski to the Jets. So what about, like, he's got an interesting layout before him now, too, Le'Veon Bell. Because this conversation that this Gordon news brings out and that everything about Le'Veon Bell brought out, about just how important these players really are, it's really cool to talk about because it's so counterintuitive that, like, some of the most famous players in the game and, you know, traditionally, I guess, although including up all the way up to Saquon Barkley, high first-round picks, you know, famous, just like legendary players at this position, all of that. And now we're at this point where we're questioning whether it's worth anything. And here's Bell. So Bell goes to a team that does not have a good reputation, is not expected to be very good. There is potential there like there is on most teams, but you know, no, we're not used to seeing the Jets be good.
Right.
And if he smashes and the quarterback's good enough, he can go some way to change that conversation.
Yep.
He can be like, well, maybe I didn't. Maybe you want to tell me that the Steelers would have been the same team without me or almost as good, but are you going to tell me the Jets were this good before? Because I'm pretty sure they weren't.
Right.
So if he does well,
a good long while. Right.
Yeah. If that goes well, then he can, you know, make an impact.
Yeah.
In that, like a new chapter in this conversation.
I think it's always so. Well, I'll say it this way: like, really, what's the right thing to do is always easier to stump for when you have no emotional involvement in it at all. Right? Like, Le'Veon Bell was never our guy. Ezekiel Elliott's not our guy. Melvin Gordon's not our guy. And we watch from afar. And like and furthermore, the Bills have prioritized running backs, which is a part of what pushed me to begin with many years ago to get like, stop drafting running backs in the first. Stop it. The best guy you've had here for years is a guy that played at William and Mary and was undrafted. What are you doing? Right? Why are you prioritizing this position in the draft and paying them more money than you have to when you can get a guy that's just as good and your team is no different with him or without? Stop it. But you get a guy that's as good as Elliott or even as good as Gordon or certainly Bell, and you know you don't want to pay running backs. You know you shouldn't do it, but the guy, this is like Carey Price with Montreal. Like, Montreal's got Carey Price, and I don't want to pay a goalie $10 million, but I don't have a goalie that even could come close to commanding $10 million. He's great, and he's consistent, pretty much, and what do? Like, he's my franchise. My fans are going to riot if I don't pay him and keep him.
Are they?
So, I think...
I think that's changing a little bit.
Yeah.
You mean Cole College for Fred? Are you thinking about Fred, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, William and Mary. I got confused.
I think that's changing a little bit. I think fans are more sophisticated about these kinds of things the same way other, you know, media might have been.
That's right.
And so the idea, plus, you know, you at the beginning, a player like Price, I think, everybody's excited about and wants to pin down and just, you know, like Eichel or Skinner or anybody. Mm-hmm. And then... as years go by and you don't win, you might become a little bit, you know, anxious.
Yeah.
And like the idea less.
What am I doing here? Do I really need to do this? Yeah.
But who do you spend the money on?
Right. I mean, that's it. Like, I guess I'm saying you've heard me, and I mean the audience, hopefully, for stop drafting running backs high. Don't pay. What are you doing? Knock it off. The Bills land on Devin Singletary in 3 years. Is Le'Veon Bell. I mean, let's be so fortunate, right? But if he is, and he's really great, that's challenging, I think. Like, I like this guy. It's a good story. It was a third-round pick. And, like, look at him. He's really good. And he catches the ball. And he's Le'Veon Bell. It's a little harder to say don't do it. You know? Like, I've seen you. And the Bills are good in this scenario. Like, they're the Steelers, you know? They're good. The quarterback arrives and it all just comes together, and this guy's a part of it. That's a little harder. I think that becomes challenging to say I don't want to pay him.
That's right. You have to figure out who to pay, and that's the part that I have trouble with, because there are always so many arguments for not wanting to pay people based on position or age or whatever. But if that happens, I'll do it. I'll hold the press conference, because the answer is no.
Yeah.
And the Bills will be fine in that as long as they know how to sell it. As long as they're able to sell it, they should be able to. Mm-hmm. In the same way you've made that argument before, they should be able to make it.
Yeah.
Now, it's different because then you've got other players on the team that it's different to the team when the GM or coach says a thing versus when you say a thing. But still, like, right is right, and we're going to put our money into this instead, but what's that? You know, you can keep... I don't want to be continuously drafting running backs. That far from it. But I do want to have, you know, backup plans. I do want to have guys. And even after the draft, that's something I think that's attainable.
Right. The average shelf life of the player at that position is a big part of this. Like, if a running back gets really good, the rare guys are the ones that go like 10 years deep. You know, I think, you know, some of the best of all time have done it. Like, Thurman did it. Emmitt Smith, you know, Hall of Famers. But you just sort of expect, like, this guy's really good. He was really good for 5 years. Now I've got to sign him for 5 more years, and that's probably only going to be good for me for a couple of those years. So what am I really doing here? Like, that's a big part of it too. I don't know that you should reasonably expect a guy to have that long a shelf life. And so, you know, that gets folded into it too. It's not just that I can replace him. It's that when does the drop off come, and how soon am I going to regret what I just paid you? And now, you know, in the NFL, there's dead money, and you get stuck somewhat, but it's not like hockey where you've just got to 300-pound boat anchor tied around your salary cap and you're done. You just go, okay, there's 6 more years of this. Okay, good luck. It's not that bad, but it's still not where you want to be.
I just did a quick search at Pro Football Reference, Gordon is second in the league in touches since he entered the league in 2015. Todd Gurley is first. Then it's Gordon, LeSean McCoy, and Frank Gore are 3 and 4, both over 1,000. Right. That's just in the last 4 years. These guys are
That's beautiful. Worked because hard. Just like everything in football, it cuts both ways. Well, look, he's so productive. He gets the ball all the time. He must be excellent. Yeah, but that's a lot of miles. Right? So touches are, those are, you know, you only have so long. You're only going to get so many touches in your life before the hits and whatever age, and it all just sort of catches up to you.
Last year was the first year Melvin Gordon averaged as high as 4.0 yards per carry, and he was 5.1. And he was under 4 yards per carry every year of the first 3 years of his career. So I know, at least in fantasy, guys argue about whether he's even good. Like last year, I heard that a lot. Is okay volume, okay, you know, opportunity, kind of the same thing. You know they're going to feed Melvin Gordon, so you want to draft him. But is he even good? Like, is he even good? And last year he did better. 14 touchdowns total last year. That's nice. But, you know, this is out there now. It's a good one. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is W.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
UGR.
I think I'm just like modern defenseman right now. To a defenseman, I like to be with the puck and make some good plays and just want to give the puck to better guys, make some points and score some goals and just make some plays and just be good two-way defenseman, take care of both outside of the end, well play and power play and penalty kill, of course.
Joki Haru.
Henry Joki Haru. The guy in Toronto jokingly asked me about him by calling him, okay, how are you? I liked it. Joki Haru. Remember, he's a Sabre defenseman. It will change in time. Eventually, someone will ask someone, are you sure? And then it will be changed, and we'll all have to decide whether to change with that change. But for now, it's Joki Haru. And so, yes, he was on the morning show yesterday. Today I watched a documentary on Netflix about Bob Dylan called The Rolling Thunder Review, mm-hmm. about a tour of his from the mid-70s, and the Grand Island Bridges are shown in this movie. Yes. I watched, like, I turned on Netflix one day last week and saw, like, that was the first thing that comes up, and if you wait 5 seconds or whatever, they start to show you the preview.
Yeah.
And I watched that because I was interested, and, like, I just quickly... It was in the preview, and I'm like, that looked like the Grand Island Bridge. And so it was a part of why I wanted to make sure I caught it. Because I wanted to find out if that was actually Grand Island, and it is.
Yeah.
I asked on Twitter with the picture. It looks, I mean, that looks like the Grand Island Bridges.
Yeah.
The South Bridges. And people, like, jumped on the tweet, like, yes, there's Niagara Falls footage in the movie. He does a concert. At Tuscarora.
The Tuscarora Reservation and also at the Niagara Falls Convention Center. There's footage in the documentary of both of those performances. The first thing I think I knew about the documentary was that the Grand Island Bridges were in it because my friend Donnie Kutzbach, who's a co-owner of the Town Ballroom and Funtime Promotions, took a screenshot of it when he's a Dylan fanatic. And, I mean, he's probably seen Dylan 30 times or more. I don't even know. And took a screenshot of it and put it on Facebook. So the first thing I knew about the film was that was in there. And I got around to watching it, and I must have walked out of the room or something because I was also, you know, whatever. I want to see the – I know it's the Grand Island Bridges already because Donnie told me, but I want to see it, and I missed it somewhere. Like, I must have left the room for a moment. And missed it, but it's definitely a worthwhile sit to watch. I would say
41 minutes in is the shot of the bridges and it's in the preview, which is like 2 minutes long. And also, by the way, at the end of the movie, they list every concert he's ever done.
Yes.
It's amazing to watch that. Like,
yeah.
Every right from the beginning to the end, I know it goes 2018, every concert of Bob Dylan's career is listed.
The number of tour dates.
Holy cow.
It's
awesome.
It's unreal. Yeah. I mean, he has just played he's County Fair guy. Like, he's just Shays. He's everywhere. Around here, he's played everywhere. And, like, I think he's done that everywhere. He just plays. He goes out and he plays.
That's what I do.
Yep.
It's like Terrence Mann in Field of Dreams. You're going to write again? That's what I do. I don't know why I thought of that.
Yeah.
It's not even that applicable.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of.
It fits.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Joe, seen Field of Dreams? We talked about this. I don't think you've seen it.
I saw the first half, and then I said I'll come back to it, and I have yet to come back to it.
You think you ever will?
Maybe.
It's possible.
It's possible. I don't know. I was scrolling through what's on Netflix the other day. I saw Caddyshack. I'm like, should I do this now? But, yeah, there's other movies I feel like I want to get to before.
You haven't seen Caddyshack?
Back. No, I have not.
I don't think you'd like it. I mean, I think Caddyshack looks old.
I just think it's the era.
It just looks old.
We've had this discussion. Like, I didn't laugh at Blues Brothers, and I think it's just because of the era that it came out. Yeah, yes, we had this discussion.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that blew my mind then, and it just...
But I think
Caddyshack 2, though? Does it... I don't mean Caddyshack 2, the movie Caddyshack 2.
Right, no.
Is that the same thing?
That is a damn atrocity.
Is that the same thing?
Probably, era-wise, but to go in and watch it now for the first time, I get what you're saying. Even about Blues Brothers, which I'll give you grief for just because I think it's
right.
I think it's brilliant. But I can see the point. Like, Caddyshack does, it really looks like the time it was made, and that looks like a really long time ago, and it was.
You know what? I did finish Field of Dreams. I forgot. I did come back to it, and I did finish it. It was pretty good.
That memorable?
Yeah.
Right, because you just said that. I'm thinking, well, you got to get to the, hey, Dad, you want to have a catch part if you're ever going
right,
to feel
yes.
strongly about the movie.
Yes, I did get to that part. It was good. It was good.
You can play catch with that guy. I think maybe, is it the Bisons or the Red Wings? Maybe the Bisons have him. I just the other day saw some ad for you can play catch with the guy. I forget the actor's name.
Yeah,
do you know it?
No.
You can play catch. There's a way you can play catch with that. You can win an opportunity to play catch
the
with
the actor who played Ray Kinsella's dad.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? I can't think of the guy's name either. I don't know.
Six letters, five letters? Can you get that really quick so I can find out if that's right? Field of Dreams dad.
Yeah, it's not Kevin Costner. It's not...
John Kinsella.
No, that's the character. Or the author or whatever
Dwyer
that is.
Dwyer Brown.
Dwyer Brown.
Okay.
Five letters. Dwyer Brown.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you, Kyle. We'll take a break. 803-0550 is the number. When to pay, guys? Thinking about Melvin Gordon and what might happen here or could happen here someday. Even Josh Allen. When to do it, when not to do it. We seem to really be pretty serious in sports nowadays about, like, no, we know not to pay that person because of this. Who gets paid? Who deserves it? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. More of that coming up after sports, and your calls are welcome, too, here on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.